Grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I'd like to speak with you for a few minutes about three notes of comfort that would encourage us to faithfully use the sacrament which Christ has given to us. And I'm basing this off of St. Luke's Gospel account. Now you know that the words of institution which we read in our Holy Communion service is a kind of a conglomeration of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, all kind of put together, so you get a full accounting of the words of institution. But each of the Gospels presents the words of institution of the sacrament in slightly different ways with different details. So we're going to focus on St. Luke's Gospel for today. And the first thing to notice about St. Luke's Gospel is that he begins by telling that he says, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." Right. Now, what this is telling us is that the Lord's Supper is the feast of the kingdom of God. All right? Just like the Passover of the Old Testament was the great feast of the deliverance of the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt to the freedom of the promised land. And so they observed the Passover, putting the lamb's blood on their door, and so trusting in the Lord's mercy. Now, in the New Testament, Christ has fulfilled the Passover. And so we Christians, we no longer observe the Old Testament Passover. What we observe is Christ Jesus. He is our Passover. And I'll say more about that in a few minutes. But what he says here is that he will not eat or drink until the kingdom of God is fulfilled. And the question before us is, when is the kingdom of God fulfilled? You see, some people think that what Jesus is essentially saying here is, I will not eat or drink until the kingdom of glory comes in the new heaven and the new earth after the judgment day in the eternal days of glory. That's what some people restrict Jesus' words to. But let's take a note of several things in Luke's gospel. Number one is, in the same chapter, down in verse 28, we read these words of Jesus. "Ye are they that have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now this kingdom that Jesus appoints for his disciples is not just the end time kingdom of glory, but it is also the kingdom that is established by the redemption of Jesus Christ and the creation and sustaining of his holy church, the kingdom of grace in this world. You see, we are now, by virtue of our baptism into Christ, by virtue of the gospel, we are members of the kingdom of grace. And therefore, the kingdom that Jesus says he is waiting for before he eats and drinks is already in effect. It began when he died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And therefore, we eat and drink with Jesus in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God when we kneel at the Lord's altar and receive the blessed body and blood of Christ in the sacrament. Now there's another thing that backs this up, and that's in Luke chapter 23. You know the story of the penitent thief upon the cross, right? And the penitent thief, after he comes to repentance, he says to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus answers him by saying, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You see, the kingdom of God is not only the end time heavenly kingdom after this world has disappeared, but it is the kingdom of grace when sinners are received into eternal fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And this is very encouraging, because as we see that the Lord's Supper is presented to us in Luke's Gospel in this light, that as we kneel and as Jesus hosts this feast and gives us his body and blood, it is the feast of the kingdom of God come and realized and available in its benefits for you and for me. One last thing. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, we read these words. Jesus appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And so they get to Emmaus and they invite Jesus to stay with them for the night because it's getting dark out. So he goes in and he sat down at meat with them. And this is what Luke says in verse 30. He took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them. So he did the motions of Holy Communion, right? He took the bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, all right, and he gave the bread. Right? Do you think this is an allusion to Holy Communion? Yes, it is. All right. And now look, it says in verse 31, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." So this is a very important thing, because it says that the disciples knew him in the breaking of the bread. Just as we know Christ, who is present bodily in the bread and the wine of communion, and he gives himself to us. He gives his body and blood to us, and we recognize and know him in it. Down in verse 35, when these men go back to Jerusalem and tell everybody, "We've seen the Lord," they told what things were done on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. All right, so to sum up part one here, Jesus is the host of the feast of the kingdom of grace and glory. And he feeds us with the bounty of grace purchased, won, and available to us in this wonderful kingdom which is established by him. So that when we come to the Lord's table, we enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of Christ. as he himself meets us there and makes himself known to us in the breaking of bread. All right. Now, the second thing that I'd like to talk about today is the connection between the Lord's Supper and the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Sometimes people forget this. Jesus said in verse 15 of chapter 22, "I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." So the Passover takes place as a prelude to the suffering of Christ. That's important. All right. Then he goes on and he speaks of the bread and the wine, and he says of the bread, "This is my body which is given for you." And again, of the wine, he says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you." Now, listen. The body and the blood of Christ were given and shed for us on the cross when he was crucified, when he died on the cross, and was laid in the grave. So the Lord's Supper here is a remembrance of the death of Christ. St. Paul says in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he comes." How do we show the Lord's death? How do we remember Christ? By eating and drinking his body and blood, which was given and shed for us on the cross and is now distributed to us in the sacrament. The same body that hung upon the cross and died for your sins, that body is the body that is given to you in the sacrament. Right? And the very blood which poured from him on the cross for the redemption of the world and the establishment of the New Testament, it is that blood of Christ which is shed for you and given in the sacrament for you to drink. All right? We're talking about the real presence of the body and blood of Christ. Now, there are millions and millions of Christians who do not believe in the real presence. They do not believe the Word of God. They reinterpret the Word of God in the sacrament to be some kind of super spiritual, some kind of indirect kind of experience. But they are deceived and they hurt themselves because in their churches, with their false confessions, they do not have the true Lord's Supper. All they do in their churches is eat bread and wine and think about Jesus. But that's not the reason why God gave us the sacrament. He gave us the sacrament so that the body and blood which were given and shed for us on the cross would be given for us to eat and drink, and that so Christ himself would give us all the benefits that he purchased and won for us on the cross in the sacrament of the altar. Right? So that when we come to the Lord's table and we receive the sacrament, we are orally receiving the body and blood of Christ, which were given and shed for us on the cross. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says of Christ, "Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." So that Jesus, the Lamb of God, is sacrificed the way the Old Testament lamb was sacrificed, Jesus is sacrificed with this difference. The Old Testament sacrifices were types and shadows pointing forward to the one sacrifice that avails for the sins of the world, which is the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. So that in the Old Testament, when they killed the Passover lamb and all the other sacrifices, and they celebrated the Passover and all the other feasts, they were in those things typifying, portraying, and looking forward to everything that Jesus did when he gave himself for us on the cross. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Or as John the Baptist said to his disciples, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Okay. Part 3. We're coming around the bend here. In verse 20, the Lord Jesus says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." What's a testament? It is a last will and testament. All right? It is a promissory note to the heirs. You see? A promissory note to the heirs. It speaks of what the heirs inherit. All right? And it comes into effect when the one who makes the will dies. Right? Now this is related, the New Testament concept of the New Testament is related to the Old Testament concept of the covenant. What is the covenant? What is a covenant or a testament? It is this comforting idea that God enters into an official contract with us based upon his gracious promises. He binds himself to his word, and he binds us to himself, so that therefore we may be maximally certain that he is for us. Now, in the Old Testament, Moses sprinkled the blood of the covenant upon the people during the ceremony. An animal was killed, and Moses sprinkled everybody with the blood of the animal. All right? And it was put into effect by the death and the blood of the animal. But Jeremiah the prophet says that the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah in those days. And he says at the end, he says, "I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." In other words, the new covenant or the New Testament is God's binding himself to the promise to forgive us our sins. And not only to forgive us our sins, but also to regenerate us so that we have the law of God written in our hearts and in our inward parts. Also, we have a new relationship with God. "I will be their God and they shall be my people." And the third extra thing, in addition to the forgiveness of sins, is no one will teach his neighbor anymore, "Know the Lord, for they shall all know me." All right? So in the forgiveness of sins also comes a new relationship with God, regeneration or conversion, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and number three, enlightenment by the Word of God, so that each of us may know Him. Now those are the things that God promised through the prophet Jeremiah based upon the covenant of the forgiveness of sins. And what Jesus is saying to us in the sacrament of the altar is that the blood that we receive in the sacrament is the blood of the New Testament. When Jesus shed His blood and died upon the cross, He put the New Testament or the New Covenant into effect. And when we eat and drink in the supper, we are receiving Christ Himself, the testator, and all of the benefits that the New Testament offers and delivers to us. Now, there's a few things we need to look at in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, says this: "For this cause, He, Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament." He's the mediator. He's the guy who does it. "That by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament," so to pay for all the sins against the Ten Commandments, right? "They which are called," that's believers, "might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." So the New Testament is that we inherit eternal redemption and eternal glory in the kingdom of God and eternal inheritance bequeathed to us by the very Son of God Himself, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then St. Paul says, "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator." Right? "For a testament is in force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." All right? So when Jesus died, He put it into effect. And now, when you and I come to the Lord's table and kneel and receive the body and blood of Christ given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins, we are receiving all of the promises of the New Testament, which has been brought into being and ratified and put into effect from now until the end by Jesus Christ, who put it into effect by His suffering, His blood, His death. All right, so that the New Testament in my blood. So, having considered these things, the Lord's Supper is the feast of the kingdom of grace, where Jesus is the host and gives us all the grace and mercy that He purchased and won for us on the cross of Calvary. Secondly, the Lord's Supper is connected directly to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it was instituted shortly before He suffered, and in the sacrament are given to us the very body and blood which were given and shed for us on the cross for the remission of our sins. And so everything that Jesus purchased, won, and enacted for us in His suffering and death are now offered to us and delivered to us with His body and blood in the sacrament. And finally, the New Testament Holy Communion is the sacrament of the New Testament, which is now put into effect from now throughout the entire age of grace, that all the stipulations and benefits of this New Testament might be bequeathed to us and we are and enjoy the feast of being heirs of the eternal inheritance. Amen.